Let's now enter the conversation for the main culprits. Now, watching the game live with you, I know you were ready to eviscerate that.
I've been sitting on this for an hour, man.
All right, go ahead. Have at it. Go ahead.
All right, so Karl Anthony Towns is just slow, he is sloppy, and he is soft. And that's not changing. So the Knicks have to come to the determination, who goes? It's either the coach or it's the semi-star player, all right? We learned everything, or at least I'm going to speak for myself. I've learned everything I need to know about this team. Their offensive sets lack an ounce of creativity. It is predictable, dribbled, scattered. Oh, there's 3 seconds. Let me shoot. You know, let Brunson bail us out. They are horrid defending the three-point shot still, and they're actually getting worse because now teams know, Cat, Brunson, going to destroy him. And they continuously get beat in transition. That, to me, is the most offensive, unforgivable thing. It's the NBA Eastern Conference Finals, and you can't run. You can't drag your 285-pound body down the court. You don't have a modicum of pride if that's the case. Now, the other thing, and I'm talking about Cat, the other thing that we figured out here is this. The two stars do not complement each other at all, and they never will. So either Tom Thibodeau goes, and I'd rather keep Tom than Cat, but I am not married to either one staying here, all right? Just ask yourself this, and I don't want to hear about he's such a good shooter. Oh, he's got so much skill. Karl Anthony Towns is exactly what I thought he was. He is soft and he is weak when it matters. Because you throw him the ball and you need a bucket, and instead of getting a decisive drop step or a baby hook, you get arms. He looks like a baby deer on skates on a sheet of ice. You get arms flailing. How many nut shots are you going to deliver? I mean, how many knee shots to the groin are you going to deliver? Because you can't simply get from point A to point B either explosively or fluidly. So that's a massive problem. If the Knicks are down and you need a bucket, he ain't the guy to get it. And if the Knicks are down and you need to stop, he ain't the guy to get it. Now, when 40% of your starting five is just, they don't mesh, they don't play well together, you cannot win a championship that way. You just cannot. So when you ask me to start the show, is it a success or is it a failure? I say it's a failure because I absolutely know that this group, as constituted, will win nothing. Zero.
All right, so I'm not as definitive about that last part of it. However, my main culprit is the same guy that you just went after, Karl Anthony Towns. So let's table the Tibbs conversation for a different segment. With Karl Anthony Towns, my issue is, and you saw this on full display in Game 6, when they started to go through him to try to take over, within a blink, as fast as the Pacers go the other way, that's how fast Karl Anthony Towns is fumbling the ball, out of control, legs, arms, all over the place, puts the ball on the floor, doesn't know what's happening to it, flailing his arms up. He's got his game around the basket, attacking the rim, whether it's low post moves, whether it's grabbing the ball from the top of the key and trying to drive, trying to penetrate, there is zero consistency and zero control to it. It is as unreliable as any part of the Knicks offense that there is. His shot was not there on this particular night, but for me, the only way to survive with Karl Anthony Towns, who I like I like his personality, I don't want to label him as soft, but in the postseason, it's been proven, whether it's here or there, there are elements to his game that just do not work. I would, if I'm Tibbs, or whoever's coaching this team, and I do think it's going to be Tibbs, but whatever, I would make a point to have him be a specific perimeter player. I'm not saying he never go down low, but featuring him down low to me is just a foolish endeavor because it's not going to work. That's when the Pacers started to pull away, where Pacers hit a bucket, starting to pull away, feed Cat, see if he can slow things down. No, he's out of control, going to the hoop, throws it up, he can't get one to go, and back the other way they come. Karl Anthony Towns' game attacking the rim to me is the biggest weakness with this New York Knicks team.
It's right up there for me as well, and I'm going to tell you something else. And I said it, I guess, a week or so ago, and I know it looked pretty tough in print, but I stand by it. He's just a dumb basketball player. He's got no IQ. I mean, how you can't read a double team coming your way when you've been in the NBA for 9 years, 10 years? I mean, hey, Cat, you know, when the second guy starts to show and he starts to roll your way just a little bit, somebody's open. and he's fumbling and he's waiting, and he is just a dumb basketball player. Not a dumb person, not a dumb man. I would never, I thought he was, which I don't, I know he's actually really smart. And I think he's a good-hearted, well-intentioned person. I will say that because I don't want this to come across too much, you know, too whatever. But I don't want him on this team anymore. I do not want him on this team making $52 million, $55 million. That's the other problem.
There's no way out, though.
Well, you could trade him. I mean, now you're going to have to sweeten the pot. There's always a way out. See, that's why I said at the start of this, it's either him or Tom Thibodeau. Now, the easier thing to do is to get rid of the coach because it's
right.
One person.
But is that really going to fix the real problem?
No, unless stylistically it's completely different, which is something that I'm also open to. But if you ask me, who's got more value to the next Tom, and I'm not even a huge, I really like Tom. I'm not a massive believer in Tom Thibodeau. You know that?
Yeah.
Who's got more value to me, Tom Thibodeau or Carl Anthony Towns to the Knicks? It's Tom Thibodeau.
So now the real key becomes, and I agree with that, now the real key becomes, okay, Tibbs saw this for 1 year. Now he's got to adjust and realize strengths and weaknesses of his players. Carl Anthony Towns' weakness, it's clear, is attacking the rim. Like, it can't happen, at the very least in the postseason. But I would think you'd want to work on that in the regular season. So for me, understand. Now, I would not be opposed for them moving on to Carl Anthony Towns. I don't know how that's going to happen. And I don't know who you're bringing in that's going to be a better fit. And by the way, for the record, Jalen Brunson himself, and I don't know if he would say this if he didn't really believe it, because we've read some reports about, like, I don't want to say infighting, but the limitations.
Yeah,
some
things came out for sure.
Some of the struggles the Knicks have had, you know. But Brunson himself came out and said he has as much confidence in this group, whether it's the head coach, whether it's the specific group of players, as he's ever had before. Okay.
I don't believe him.
I don't know how you could say that based off of what we saw with Carl Anthony Towns, other than there's no way the Knicks can run it back with everything the same and do it the same again and expect a different result. So if you're not going to get rid of the coach, which I would not, if you're not going to get rid of Carl Anthony Towns, which I don't know if they have a better option to get rid of him, then they have to figure out a different way to utilize him, even if it means bringing in a lesser center to back up Mitchell Robinson and have Carl Anthony Towns play exclusively as a power forward who can stretch the floor offensively.
All right, back to the main question of the day. And if you guys missed the open, free Odyssey app, success or failure? One of the other reasons I really believe it's a failure is the painful awakening that and understanding that this group will never win a championship together. That's obviously my opinion, but that's how I formulate my answer there, why I believe this season is absolutely a failure, not a success, despite the fact it's been 25 years, it's been fun, all that stuff. So if you want to change Carl Anthony Towns' role, which I'm fine with because it's going to be almost impossible to trade him, I'm going to ask you. I know you know my answer before for this. Do you believe Tom Thibodeau has the mental the prowess, the offensive prowess to design a system to work around his flaws? I don't.
I think he's smart enough to understand that the way that they were trying to do it does not work.
Okay, if that's true, why was there not a single adjustment made in transition defense or 3-point defense of the 3-point shot?
I don't know if it was a lack of adjustments or lack of they couldn't guard him. Neither could the Cavs, by the way. Like, this is also, you have to credit the Pacers to a certain extent. Plus, what the Knicks' biggest weakness is, they were able to exploit that maybe more so.
Yeah, I think there's part of it. Listen, that's true to an extent. Like, the NBA's always been matchup driven, good matchup, bad matchup, whatever. And this obviously proved to be a bad matchup for the Knicks because of their ball movement, because of their shooting, because of their quicks getting out and just running by the Knicks here. I close my eyes and I'm like, all right, let's fast forward to the 2026 Eastern Conference Finals if they get there, NBA Finals if they get there, and they won't if they don't make changes. And I just envision Carl Anthony Towns, big spot, exploited defensively. He's not going to get quicker. He's going to get slower. He's not going to get better defensively. He's going to get worse. That is a massive inherent issue that is never going to change. Problem number one. Then I see when they try to run the offense through him. Now, he's had some sequences where you're like, all right, Cat, go get yours. Go eat. But it's never sustained, and it's never, to me, it's not polished enough to trust that to transfer in against well-coached championship-type teams, which is what you face the deeper you get in the playoffs.
Matter of fact, it's more likely that when he's attacking the rim from the top of the key the way that he does it, it's more likely bad is going to happen than good. And when the good does happen on occasion, even if it's for a little bit of a sustained run, to me, that's more the outlier. Whereas the norm is he's going to get called for an offensive foul. He's going to miss. He's going to complain for a foul that should have been called that wasn't. He's going to turn the ball over. He's not going to pass it when he needs to pass it. He's not going to feel the double team. Those are all, to me, more the norm as opposed to the outlier. Oh, wow, you could feed the beast down low.
Doesn't anybody else think it's incredibly interesting to have two starters, the point guard and the center, on the Eastern Conference team, or however, I don't even know if they just do East, however they do the NBA All-Star thing. Do they still do the draft? Who the hell knows? Whatever they do, two starters that didn't look in sync for the last month and a half in the playoffs. I mean, how many games? And I know that the first game they had 43 and 35. I'm not saying that there weren't nights where they both scored a lot of points, but do you see Brunson and Cat, like the synergy that's required? Like, I didn't see it at all. I don't think I saw a single alley-oop from Brunson to Cat. I saw one attempt where he got 3 inches off the ground. I saw Mitchell Robinson flush down 9 in the course of this. I just didn't see it. I don't think they work well together. That's why I don't believe Jalen Brunson, when he said it, what he said at the end of the year, that he has full, whatever words he used, full belief, we're going to do it, this is the team. No, it's not, and you know that because you're too smart, and your dad was around the NBA, and your dad knows. If you sat down and had a couple of glasses of wine with Jalen Brunson, I guarantee that you would get the real, and his real would be, we're not good enough, and I don't think that he likes playing with Cat. Why would you? What does he do for Jalen Brunson's life that makes it easier?
Assuming they don't blow it up, and I don't think that they will because I don't think that they can. And by the way,
they won't win.
There are other issues, whether it's lack of depth, whether
Bridges.
It's Mikhail. Oh, my God. Bridges would be the next one, yes. But it's ultimately going to be on Tom Thibodeau to figure it out with this group and make adjustments off of this first year together. Okay, this is what we did. This is what we need to fix it. Whether it's give me a backup big so I can deploy Mitch and Cat in this way, give me a backup power, whatever it may be. But clearly they have to fix what they were trying to do, because what they were trying to do just it didn't work, and it will not work moving forward.
I know the calls are fired up. Just give me a quick yes or no. Do you think the Knicks looked very well coached in the series?
I can't say that, but then that to me, like, I know why you're asking the question. I still believe in Tibbs.
I know you do.
Not believe that. Again, tell me what their offense is.
Exactly. So the answer is
no, they did not
look very well coached. Does the tandem of Brunson Cat look like a duo that's going to win a championship?
Absolutely not.
Okay. So those are the two issues, which one of those must be addressed. Now I'll trust Leon Rose to address one of them. But he's got to address one of them.
BT, it's Al on the Fan. Jeff is calling from Westchester. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Sal. Hey, BT. Good morning. Tough morning. But I just wanted to say before I get started that Hoff playing his bumper music has got to be the best in the business. I listen every day, and he kills it on the bumper music in and out of the break.
Crushing
so
it.
FYI.
Yeah, they have the whole of the day right there.
That.
By the way, in between feeding us erroneous information, he's absolutely the best.
Yeah.
He's crushing it.
Hey, it's one big, beautiful package.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
He's like Carl Anthony Towns. When he's attacking the ring like that, that's feeding us the info. But then when he's on, he's all playing some music. Anyway, go ahead.
So Towns, I think, has gone to the Draymond Green school of workout routines with the flopping and flailing and hitting whatever he hits on the way to the hoop. Doesn't matter where the ball goes, as long as it gets contact with somebody's nuts or their head, you know?
Oh, God. you can say that, I guess. But the difference is, and I know you're saying that for effect, number one, you know, Draymond is just a little teeny-weeny tiny piece of the Warriors' offense. Cat is supposed to be, you know, part of the lion's share, man. He's making $53 million. He's supposed to be a beast. He's a mouse.
Well, nobody would disagree that the Knicks needed another top-notch scoring option to go along with Jalen Brunson. And by the way, Brunson has his own issues. Like, he did not play a great series either.
That's true, too.
Now, we know why he's not going to be the main focal point, but he did not play a great Game 6. He did not play a great series. They needed another big-time scorer. And Cat was the one available. He was the one that they made the trade for. The problem is what he does offensively at least what I thought he was going to be special at, knocking down the threes. The Knicks did not take advantage of that at all in the postseason. That would be my biggest concern. And then what he does certainly defensively just crushes the Knicks with the tandem of him and Brunson on the floor together. But even offensively, I don't think it worked together to the level that they expected it to work.
Okay, but I got to push back on this because we were talking the other night, and many times it comes up, but at one point I referenced the 90s Knicks where it almost seems like this group doesn't score as easily and as freely as they remember. I brought that up, and obviously not to the extent when the Knicks were winning 90-85. Obviously, that was a million years ago, but that was applicable to that team. Ah, we got to get Patrick some more offense. We got to get him this. We got to get him that. That's why you had Blackman, Vandeweghe, etc. I don't want to hear about this team not having enough offense. Mikal Bridges has averaged 19, 20 points a game in certain spots in the NBA. Cat's the starting center, and he was a stud in the Western Conference offensively. Jalen Brunson is the best clutch closer, statistically provable. He won the award in the NBA. OG's a 17, 15, 16, 17 point per game guy. I mean, so not enough offense. I just don't think it's the right offense. I don't think it's the right complement. It's not like we're sitting here and the Knicks are scratching their way to 93 to 95 points a night. But if they could give up two or three fewer layups and protect the rim a little bit, and I don't mean Mitch, he's a beast, then I think the offense would look phenomenal. Or Bridges, listen, nobody really wants to say it, but I have, and I will say it again, Cat is a mouse and Bridges is a mouse. We need dogs. They don't have enough. They're not dogs, dude. We can have this conversation a million ways sideways. Oh, get more threes for Cat. And I do hear you on that. Do this with Brunson. Do this with the bench. Dude, they're just not killers. Cat is soft.
You were using a different word by the fire pit on Saturday night. Yeah. BT and Sal on the Fan. No, you aren't. I'm just kidding. 888-808-1019. Milton is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Milton?
Hey, what's going on? BT, you are absolutely embarrassing yourself today.
Okay.
Now, I think
he played well, huh?
The fact that, and I love you, this is the
first time that you,
it happens.
I got you.
The fact of the matter is, you from the beginning said you didn't like this team, so you just sticking to your guns. Get over it. The fact is that this team had a successful season. I'm going to give you a perfect example.
Okay.
How many wins do you think the Jets are going to have this year? And I'm going to tell you what BC does.
Jets are going to go 14-3.
Justin Fields, renaissance. That's not what you're thinking.
Something like that.
Yeah, 6-7. So this is what BT does. They're 6-7. What if the Jets start off 13-0? You know what BT does?
What?
His expectations go through the roof. They better win the Super Bowl or it's over. That's your problem. That you don't know how to enjoy a season that, okay, they're doing better than we thought. Don't change. You thought they were going to win six games. So enjoy the ride.
Well,
so the Knicks, my goal this year as a Knicks fan was to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, I thought we were going to play the Celtics. Okay, we played the Pacers. Okay, we blew game one.
Yep.
But the fact that you think, or you're going to come on the radio and say it wasn't successful, is insane.
Why? Okay, let me ask you this, Mil. Hold on a sec, Mil. I love you. Honestly, you've been calling for years. I know you love the Knicks. I know you know your stuff. So how we feel about a team before the year and during the year and after it ends could be wildly different things. I got two. Just answer me yes or no. Do you believe Cat is a championship player? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, well,
know why?
I don't even need to ask you number two.
I'm curious why. Go ahead.
Why? Cat can be a championship player if they make the right move. I'm not saying he's going to win a championship by himself. And you were wrong about the offense. This is what the Knicks have to do in the offseason if they want to win a championship. And I said this before the season started. The day Josh Hart is coming off the bench is when this team is ready.
No, I agree with you on that. I agree with that. Yes.
What they got to do, and I don't know how they're going to do it, if they could get a guy who doesn't need a screen, a guy who could score 25 a night when Brunson's on the bench, if they could get a scorer, I'm not going to say we're going
to
get
what is Mikal Bridges supposed to be, Milton? They gave up five first-round picks for the guy.
No, what he's supposed to be is what he is. He's supposed to be a corner. He does not create his own shot.
He's supposed to be a scorer, Bridges. Milton. And thank you for the call. Good stuff.
Bridges.
He's supposed to be a scorer. Milton's talking about exactly what they did. I'm not saying he was that. That's what he was supposed to be.
Yeah.
You don't give up all the Knicks gave up to get a player of that caliber if he's just a bit piece that you're going to play some 3-and-D. No. Mikal Bridges was supposed to be a bona fide, legitimate offensive option, not to mention a weapon defensively. He was awful this year. Way too inconsistent in the regular season and the postseason. So they brought in the pieces that should have been on paper enough for a championship. In reality, they were not. It didn't come close to that.
Here's the bigger issue, too, Sal. They've been exposed now. Now, every team knows, and not that they didn't really know this before the playoffs, because they know Kat's not good on defense, same with Jalen, but the recipe to really make the Knicks look incompetent defensively is so obvious, and you don't even need elite NBA offensive personnel to do it. That's a big problem.
Yeah, and when I say they didn't come close to a championship, they literally did come close within six wins of a championship. I'm talking about they never gave you confidence that they were going to be a real, true championship team. It was always because of the circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tatum went down, so now they should be able to polish off the Celtics.
Yeah,
well,
Cavaliers,
the Cavs are out of the way. Yeah, yeah. And then in reality, they lost to a team that we thought, even this iteration of the Knicks with all the weaknesses, still should have beaten in the Indiana Pacers. BT and Sal on the Fan. More of your Knicks calls when we come back. 888-808-1019. You know when we last left you. BT and Sal on the
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
Fan 888-808-1019. Last left, I was making a little prayer to the sports gods, hoping that they give us this one here. I really wanted to beat the Pacers for many different reasons. You know, Halliburton, the stupid Pacers fans. For years, we've been dealing with the Pacers back and forth. So I went to the sports gods and asked, come on, give us one here. I'm not asking for a championship, just give us one. And yet again, the sports gods let me down. Let us down. And then I was thinking about it. Do you think that the Knicks fans deserved a gift from the sports gods?
Hell yeah.
See, here's why I don't think that they did.
What?
Dude, the premature celebrating. Now, I'm not going to get on people. You want to get excited about, like, I'm not going to give you the bit. Oh, it's awful, but I don't agree with it. It's not something I would do, but I get young kids roll into it.
You're like 7th Avenue going nuts like that?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
After round one.
A little bit much.
After
but
a win in round two. Okay, well, that's what I mean. Like, the way, and then it wasn't just that. It was throwing the trash at the Pacers fan. Now, that's not everybody, but that is Knicks fans. The stuff with Winhurst, you know,
yeah,
getting
threw,
up in
yeah,
his face.
Yeah.
The Halliburton doll. Did you see that where they were stomping out a Tyrese Halliburton doll?
I didn't see that.
I believe it was after game 5, right, Sue? That was in the streets again. You didn't see that?
I didn't see that, did also see that a Pacer fan stabbed two Knicks fans
saw that.
In Indiana.
I saw.
Okay, I did see that. Now, that wasn't a doll actually stabbing a fan. I mean, that's just where it starts to get crazier. But forget about the Pacers fan. I'm talking about the Knicks fans here. The trash stuff, the Winhurst stuff, the Halliburton doll, the celebrating. I'm like, whatever, you want to get on Halliburton, fine. But celebrating like you won the championship after a round, after a second round, those type things to me are poking at the sports gods. Like, you're not going to get any favors from the sports gods when you act like that. So even though I said a little prayer on Friday, it didn't work, I don't think that Knicks fans deserved one because they were not humble. They were not understanding in the moment. They were over the top celebrating. Sports gods looked at that and said, here you go.
You think they tempted fate?
They tempted fate. Sports gods fate. And look what happened in the NBT.
Well,
Halliburton, his girlfriend talking smack.
Oh, my God.
Reggie in the funeral, and they're all dressing up in black, all that.
I know.
And they went again.
When you asked me about the sports gods things on Friday, I couldn't get behind it. Remember, I said, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
You know, I said, I've been crushed too many times by the sports gods, and the last straw was the Rodgers situation, coming out like Captain America, and then, you know, blowing out his Achilles 4 plays in. I'm like, I'm done with that. I pray to the execution gods at this point.
Right.
I really do. The sports gods of execution. Do your job. Get back on defense. Box out. You know. Find the double team when they could, you know, pass, you know, whip the ball around the perimeter. Hit some foul shots. And they didn't play well enough because they're not good enough. And I know that there's a lot of layers there, and you can certainly, you know, push back on that. I don't think that I'm right for everybody. But for me, there's just too many inherent flaws with this team. Whether you begged the sports gods or tempted the sports gods, not good enough.
All right, so if you're not a believer in the sports gods, which is fine, Do you believe in that, like, bad karma, tempting fate?
Like, I do, okay. But not pertaining to sports as much. Like, yeah, that's why I'm not a fan of, even when my kids were, they know by now, but, like, real young, like, oh, so-and-so's hurt. Now, you want them to get up. Yeah. That's somebody's dad. Somebody's get up. You don't want to win that way, you know? Now, if it's just a little tiny sprained ankle, that's different. But, like, I don't want anything serious. I don't mess around with that. I do believe in karma in life.
Yeah.
I do believe in karma in the world. But not so much with sports. Boomer's big. I'm not touching the money. It means nothing to me. I don't believe in that. I don't care. It doesn't resonate with me. It does for some, not for me.
I feel like, and it pains me to say this because I'm a Knicks fan. I feel like a lot of those Knicks fans got what they deserved.
Okay. Now, if that's true.
Now, they don't represent everybody.
Well, that's where I was going to go.
Right.
I mean, let's say there were 7,000 people on 7th Avenue, right? What about the other million Knicks fans who didn't do anything wrong?
That's what I'm saying. It's not everybody. But those fans, those vocal, celebrating, partying, at times crossing the line fans, became the ones who were the most prominent on social media, the ones that are hated nationally by people who don't really, you're seeing that, you think that every Knicks fan's like that. Those fans cost us. They cost they touched the fate, they tempted fate, they messed with the sports gods, they touched us. They prevented us from having the sports gods maybe hand us a little gift. If you just went about your business, acting like you've been there before, maybe a little more humble.
But they haven't been there before.
I don't know, 25 years. Well, we
don't know how to act.
Yeah.
We were comporting ourselves well. We didn't mess around with that.
Put it this way. If it weren't the Knicks and it were any other fan base that was acting like that.
Oh, I'd be having fun with them as well.
Yeah, and we'd be thinking, huh, you got what you
deserve.
Suckers
deserve it. Yeah. You asked for it. Yeah, oh yeah.
You acted like you won the championship after two rounds. You got what you deserve.
Knicks fans are absolutely despised right now, nationally. Like, they are despised. Oh, and one thing, and I said this to you the other night watching the game. Reggie Miller's, now I've already said what I said about Cat. But Reggie Miller's comment about Karl Anthony Towns basically faking injury. I can't believe the blowback that there's not professional blowback from that. Like, how did, unless I missed somebody challenge him on that, I think that that's actually incumbent upon somebody from the Knicks organization to actually stand up and defend Karl Anthony Towns and actually, you know, use that example. And you guys know what I'm talking about. When Karl got fouled, he was on the ground. Then Reggie said,
"The knee to knee, I think."
Yes. He flat out said, "Oh, he's milking it. He does this a lot, dude." That is unprofessional. I didn't really lean into the whole, well, Reggie, Pacer, Nick, Pacer, oh, it's going to distort my viewing pleasure. No, whatever. I could just zone him out when I have to. And I thought he was pretty good most of the series, except he showed up wearing black the other night, which bothered me. That was a real shot at one of their star players, and nobody seems to have much of an issue with it.
Yeah. Well, I can't say anything now. What's the difference?
Well, the Knicks could. The league could. I don't know. Like, that's... Imagine a quarterback laying on the ground and saying, yeah, you know, Troy Aikman, yeah, he's faking it.
Yeah,
well, I mean, that's what happened.
He's
faking it.
The boy who cried wolf a little bit with Cat.
Well, maybe that's the ultimate point. Yeah. Doesn't make it right to say it, but that does lend some credence to the reputation of Cat.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Alex is in East Quag. What's up, Alex?
Hey, good morning, guys. You know how I feel about Tibbs, right?
Yeah.
Let me make a couple of points here. Leon Rose went all in this year with Cat and Bridges because he felt that team with this coach would get to the ultimate goal. That's why you make those big deals, like them or not. I can't say I like them.
Maybe not year one, though. Not year one. Like, yeah, the hope is that. But he believed in this team. I agree with that. I don't know if he thought they were going to win a championship year one.
I don't know if he thought it, but he certainly made those moves with the hope that they would do it. And he didn't make those moves to say, give us a year for trading all those picks and getting Randall divided because give me a little buffer on this, maybe in year two. They came in because he felt that this was the team and this was the coach. Now, if these pieces, these disparate pieces, have to be fit together to the best of their talents, obviously we know now that Cat and Brunson can't work together. And give me a second on another point here. It's up to the coach to make those players fit together to the best of their abilities. And when you reach the playoffs, BT, you said they were exposed. When you reach the playoffs and you play the same team, the best teams in the league, seven games against the better coaches, that's when you get exposed. So Tibbs didn't really, I mean, maybe Tibbs did as best as he could, but I don't feel he did a good enough job to bring these guys together. Now, game one is where I will never forgive Tibbs as if I ever was in his corner before. This guy's a great coach. He's reached the Tibbs ceiling. Game one, the lead is going from 20 to 17 to 15 to 12. Forget about being up by 9 with 58 seconds left. That whole time, while that lead is going down and Neesmith is eating Bridges' lunch, Tibbs did nothing. He also waited too long to call a timeout, and then everyone throws roses at him in game three when he finally goes to DeLon Wright. We're not talking about a superstar, but we're talking about a defensive, top defensive veteran, long 6'5" warm-up. Because he waited till game three to use him to good effect? Where the hell was he in game one? We could have subbed him in for Bridges, tried to get physical on Neesmith, and stop the dribbling from 17 to 15 to 12 to 11.
Yep.
To me, Tibbs did nothing in game one. They never recovered. That's a historic. You can't say, oh, well, we have to get past it. That's a historic choke job, and a lot of it lies in the fact that Tibbs stood there with his arms crossed. The guy that says the game tells you what to do, well, the game told him in game one to stand there and do nothing for the critical 5 minutes before it got to the last minute and do nothing. To me, the guy, I can't say enough. I just don't feel it for Tibbs. He might go in the Hall of Fame one day. I don't know. He'll never win a championship. He's consistently outcoached when it matters. And that's the way I feel. I think they're bringing him back.
We got the point there, Alex, and thank you for the call.
It's a good call.
Now, I thought that's where you were going to go, mm-hmm. based off of the way that, you know, we've been talking about during the shows, Saturday night, in-game. Are you there yet with Tibbs? I mean, we could discuss that further, obviously, whether it's later today or tomorrow. I am not. I think it would be a mistake. I know why people would say that. I'm not blaming him. To me, it's more about their stars not coming up big enough, specifically Karl-Anthony Towns. That would be my main culprit, not Tibbs.
It's too big of a conversation to shortchange. Yeah. Let's get the break. We'll come back, get the calls. I want to get into the Tibbs stuff. Okay. That's a massive component of the Knicks, for sure.
Attention, sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus TNC supply.
PT and Sal on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. We were talking Knicks. We did a little baseball. Maybe we'll get some a little bit later on, 1 o'clock hour. Talk some Mets. I was at the game yesterday.
So those heart emojis resurfaced.
My first, he's coming, BD. My first game of the year. What a game to go to, too. Lindor homering, Alonso homering, Soto. We'll do more on that later. Let's keep it to the Knicks here. We teased before the break with the Thibodeau stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And moving forward, let's do that coming up at 12.
Yep.
Down with the King topic of the day. We'll spin it forward, get more into tips, because that's a more meaty topic.
Oh, meat of the order. Man,
there we go.
Meat of the order.
All right, Les is calling from Brooklyn. What's up, Les?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
What up, Les?
I agree with BT, which I never do because BT's a Yankee fan and I'm a super Mets fan. But the Knicks had a big failure this year. It was a big failure. And I don't think that we're going to get a chance to go back again. Like another caller said, the way to beat the Knicks was on full display, and everybody, that's anybody, is going to be able to do it if they got some young players that want to run and play defense, mm-hmm. you know? I love Tibbs, but I think his weakness is as offensive coach. His offense is weak. And another coach probably would have took more advantage of Cat, and he should be scoring 30 points a game. If he's not going to play any defense, score 30 points a game, stop doing stupid fouls, and just be a scorer. If you can't be a scorer, I mean, and that's what you do, that's why got rid of you. At first, I thought Minnesota was crazy.
So is Tibbs the problem, or is Cat the problem?
It's a combination. They can't work good together. Well, I love Tibbs. I would keep Tibbs over Cat because I'm a defensive guy.
Well, here's the way I would say it, Les, and thank you for the call. We appreciate the passion. The way I would say it, BT, is that I don't ever recall a top player, an all-star, a top scorer on paper, being that inconsistent, not for a singular series, but throughout the course of a postseason where, in which you play three series. Like, you, those guys should just smack you in the face. All right, you know what you're getting from him. He's going to give you 25 or 30 every night, and you know how he's going to do it. Those guys do what they do, and they score their points. With Karl-Anthony Towns, it's a grab bag. One night, you don't know what you... Hey, you know what? He's going to attack the rim. He's going to get to the free throw line. Maybe one night he's going to knock down some threes, but then one night he's going to be invisible or the offensive fouls are out of control. There is no consistency, at least from what I'm seeing, to Karl-Anthony Towns' offensive game. I think he's an offensive quote-unquote stud based on all his work in the regular season.
I could flip on a game. Like, if I didn't know that he was the first overall pick back in the day or that he was a whatever time all-star or the numbers weren't, that he's put up weren't the numbers. If I just flipped into a specific game, I'll start with the other night. That's the first time I've ever seen Karl-Anthony Towns play basketball. I would say this guy's a seventh man. He's just, there's no way this guy is, he's just not it. And then there's other nights where if you flip him on and he's flowing and he's mixing the drive and the three, you're like, this guy's a first team all NBA. I think the problem, though, is that he's become easier to figure out. He's become easier to stop as a result of that. And now his glaring deficiencies, which have always been there defensively, have become more pronounced because his athleticism is starting to erode because he's approaching the age of 30.
Yeah, we've known that he's not a good defensive player. We knew that for a while. I was disappointed with the offensive performance or lack of consistency. Not even the offensive performance, because there were certain nights where he took over. And you noticed the games, whether he was hitting an incredible shot against Detroit in, what was it, game four, I guess, of that first round.
Yep.
Whether it was taking over a Celtics game in that series. Even some moments against the Pacers, game one specifically, when him and Brunson were lighting it up. Those, to me, were too infrequent to be able to say, I know what we're getting from Cat moving forward. He's got the potential. But now, is Tibbs going to be able to put him in a position to maximize his offensive potential and do it consistently enough from start to finish of a season, from start to finish, more importantly, of a postseason as well? That's going to be the biggest question mark, regardless of the other pieces. Can Tibbs get Cat to be more consistent and in control throughout the playoffs? Because if he doesn't, you cannot win a championship without your two stars playing at a high level consistently in the postseason.
Let's face it. There's a lot of things that Tom Thibodeau needs to prove that he can do better. There's just a lot of things. I'm going to save them for when we get to the king topic. Yeah. But it's not one. It's not two. It's a list that's growing. It's the longest list I've ever had for him. Like, there were things that I saw this year where I'm like, oh, boy. Oh, man. It doesn't look right.
Well, we'll do that coming up in about 7 minutes. Ian is in Westchester. What's up, Ian?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey.
Look at 2 points if I could. So the first one was for Sal. Sal was saying earlier, basically trying to say, you know, like the Knicks fans, maybe we over celebrated too early, and that in sense could have been, you know, sport god or some reason that,
yes,
you know, it didn't work for us. I completely disagree there. Historically, as a new, not even just basketball, but a New York sports fan, with the exception of the Yankees historically, and the Mets as of recent, there is very few opportunities that any New York fan ever gets to actually celebrate. So we can't be discouraged from celebrating even the smallest of victories, because those victories don't ever really come for us.
Celebrating in the streets like it was a parade, Ian, and thank you for the call. Like it was, you had a parade, like you won the championship after the first round or a first round win. Or the second round, or a singular second round win, not even winning those series. They were going right from 0 to 100 real quick, too quick, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
Well, then what are you going to do if they win if they actually win a championship? Then what? I mean, shut down the city.
That's when it's lamppost time.
I mean, but you saw
start
that,
scaling buildings.
You saw that even in the second round. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying don't celebrate. And by the way, to each their own, go do it. Like, we didn't go nuts on the air. It's not something I would do. I thought it was a little bit much. But I do believe that that type of celebration after a singular round, round one and round two, upset the sports gods, and Knicks fans ultimately got what they deserved.
Well, I remember this. So when the Yankees beat the Padres in the World Series, right, I was at a bar that's no longer open. It's in Bay Ridge, 3rd Avenue, or it wasn't Bay Ridge, Sullivan's, right? Oh, Sullivan's or Sullivan's? I forget. And I remember when the Yankees got it, the last out was DeBrocious. Like, we all ran out of the bar, and, like, everybody was in the street, and everybody's pouring out of all the different, and there used to be a ton of bars in Bay Ridge. So there was a lot of people, but everybody was a Yankee fan, and everybody's now celebrating a championship. I don't know, like, when I see this massive people that are reacting to a Knicks win, are we sure they're all Knicks fans, or some people just jumping in?
No, we're not, but the sports gods maybe can't decipher either. And the Winhurst stuff, the Pacers stuff, throwing the garbage, all those things, celebrating in the streets, to me, was a bit much, and you're tempting fate. You said it before, I want to bring it into the sports gods realm, if you will, but tempting fate, never a good thing. And again, we come up short as Knicks fans. We'll come back, reset, down with the King topic of the day, talk about whether the Knicks season was a success or failure, also add another layer to it. Tom Thibodeau. We've mentioned Tibbs. We haven't really gotten to the specifics on whether we would keep him or not and what he needs to do moving forward. If, in fact, they do keep him, we'll do that when we return in your calls. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal on the Fan.